There he is with his garment of camel's hair flowing slightly in the wind, his index finger upraised, preaching to all who pass. And what does he say? We have, I'm presuming that what he says is substantially what he said to the many crowds that flocked out from Jerusalem and Judea to hear him first time round when he was preaching in the wilderness. And we have an interesting clue as to what that message was from outside the New Testament. Unlike Jesus, for whom there is almost no evidence outside the texts of the New Testament, a passing mention in Tacitus and another in Suetonius that indicates that he was being talked about in the Roman world. Unlike Jesus, who's hardly mentioned outside the New Testament, with John, there's a definite little nugget of evidence from a quite independent source, an interesting source, a man called Flavius Josephus, a Jewish aristocrat. He lived a generation after the time of Jesus and John the Baptist. He lived, indeed, at the time of the Jewish revolt against Roman rule that broke out in AD 66. And Josephus was put in charge of the defense of the little city in Galilee called Jotapata. Unfortunately, he was not successful in his defense of Jotapata. The city surrendered to the Romans. Josephus was taken captive. And at that point, he reinvented himself as a kind of commentator and explainer of Jewish affairs for the Roman elite. In our terms, he was your go-to man to appear on Newsnight to explain the Jewish revolt and the Jews. And he's left us a number of writings, a history of the Jewish war, and a broader Jewish history. And in the Jewish history, he describes John the Baptist in these terms. He was, says Josephus, a good man. And he told people that they should exercise justice towards one another and piety towards God. Piety, eusebia, they should take the worship of God seriously. That, in a way, is simple enough. But that people should exercise justice towards one another. What might that mean? Well, the trouble with inviting people to exercise justice one to another is that you can deploy the argument of justice in such different directions. It seems, for example, only just and fair that those who earn money, those who've made money by their hard work and entrepreneurship, should be able to keep as much as possible of the fruit of their labour. So there's a good conservative argument from justice for low taxation. But then there's another argument that says that those who do well in life are frequently those who started with certain advantages which have enabled them to get a head start on others. So the just thing to do is to redistribute wealth. And you get a socialist argument from justice. Where might Josephus have sat on that kind of a spectrum? Well, there is a clue, not this time in Josephus, but in Luke's Gospel. When Luke introduces John the Baptist and his preaching, he adds a bit that the other evangelists don't have. The tax gatherers come to John and say, "What should we do?" And he doesn't say, "Well, your tax gathering occupation is a thoroughly detestable and wicked one. Stop collecting taxes." He says, "Don't collect more taxes than you're supposed to." The point is that in the ancient world, tax gathering was run in the same way that the privatized railways work in this country. You awarded a franchise, the government gave a franchise to collect taxes to the highest bidder. The government banked the highest bidder's tender fee up front and then left the tax collector that won the bid to collect as much tax as they could to make a healthy profit. So the rate of tax wasn't, as it were, centrally set. It was as much as the tax gatherers could screw out of people. And what you see there is John taking a kind of interesting middle position. He's not being radical the way that the Magnificat is radical. He's being sensible. Exercise a practical kind of justice. Get on with your job, but do your job in a way that doesn't hurt or harm other people. And again, in Luke's Gospel, the soldiers come to him and say, "What should we do?" And he doesn't say, "Well, serving in the army is wrong, and anyway, the army is an instrument of Roman imperialism, so get out as quickly as you can." He says, "Continue to serve in the army, but don't let yourselves be used as instruments of oppression. Don't exercise violence against people out of some private or factional interest, but serve for the sake of the common good. I'm expanding the implication of what's there in Luke's gospel. So slightly surprisingly, putting Josephus and Luke together, you get a sense of a relatively moderate person who's encouraging people to take their prayer life and their relationship with God very seriously and to exercise justice in practical, sensible, not subversive ways, one towards another.